Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Advances to make driving and texting and calling a little bit more safer. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is October 21st, 2013. Thanks for joining us here. It is day one of Newsworthy Clips, 3 days of articles that cover 3 different topics, and I'm sure all of you will find this first one relevant because it involves gadgets, phones, and iPads, and tablets, and things like that, and driving. I know none of you ever talk on the phone or text or check emails while you're driving. Right, Josh?
Well, not anymore, Bill, because I don't have a car. But when I did in the States last year, I was definitely guilty of it.
Yeah.
It is very, very difficult to ignore your phone no matter where you put it in the car. And we'll talk about some of the popular places to keep it. But it's just a temptation that I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I can understand that. And it is all, in a way, it's become an epidemic. I had recently visited the United States, go back visit my family, and it is amazing how many people are driving around and they're either talking, the phone is being held up to their ear, and they're talking while they are driving, or they get to a stoplight or a stop sign and they're texting. And I noticed that it actually will cause delays. They'll just be still texting and the light turns green and there's people waiting and they're not really even paying attention.
Well, we see much less of the talking up to your ear in where I live in California because that's illegal and cops are looking for it. And most of the cars these days have Bluetooth, in-car Bluetooth that allows you to talk through the speakerphone. But texting, emails, and then I think especially checking Google Maps while people are driving is just something that's very dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's Josh Mooney. Hazel Johansson is also here. Hi, Hazel.
Well, hello, Bill. Hi, Josh.
Nice to have you here, Hazel.
Now, I know I'm wondering about when you're riding your motorcycle here in Taipei, are you driving with one hand and talking or texting with the other hand?
Well, no, not at all. First of all, I really don't get many phone calls, and I don't text a lot, but once in a while. So I keep my phone handy in case I get lost. I can pull over and call someone or if I have an emergency. But I'm not into my gadgets all the time like some people.
Right.
And I would like to point out that in different places there are very different laws. Mm-hmm. So when I go home and see my brother using the cell phone while he's driving, I get all nervous. But it's okay there. It's not against the law. Mm-hmm. But in some states it is, and here it's against the law. So you need to pay attention to that.
Well, it's not only laws, but it's also enforcement because like Josh said, in California, maybe they're not allowed to do that, and they are very strict in their enforcement. The police are looking for that. In my home in Pennsylvania, they're not supposed to be talking on the phone, but people continue to do it, and I didn't see much enforcement. And so I asked about you riding your motorcycle here just because last night I went to the convenience store, and a guy almost ran into me. He made a right turn. He was driving his motorcycle. And he was actually driving with one hand and talking on the phone while he was doing this. And he almost ran into me. And I don't see much enforcement here of any laws or rules because it's a fairly constant thing. And it's not just here. It's many places.
No, but another problem with motorcycles is people will go to the side of the road and stop.
Right.
And so they're stopped there and it's inconvenient to go around them or they stop suddenly. And I've almost hit a few people that have just stopped suddenly
to take a
to
call.
Answer the phone or take a call. And
and
it's very dangerous. So I think safety is very important in this issue.
Well, I had a joke I'd tell in California that I think could be a law one day if the right politician came into office. I think we should have a lane where you pull into and that's where you drive while texting. and all the cars could have big foam bumpers, and you could go as slow as you want to take that call.
I think it's a good idea. Or like a rest area. They
right.
have an answer your phone area you can pull off.
Okay. Well, one of the things that has been brought up is how much of a distraction is all of this when the person is driving. And there have been many, many studies. We've even done articles on this in the past as far as what is the impact of talking on the phone, whether it is even with a hands-free system, there still is the distraction factor involved in there. Now, we've moved beyond just talking, but also to texting, checking emails, checking websites. So there are a number of different things involving gadgets and that need to be addressed as far as making this safe for everybody. So that's what we're talking about in this newsworthy clip, our first one that you can find on page 32 in your Advanced magazine. And we will split today's reading up into two sections. The first one will be that left column.
Some cars will read texts and emails or take dictation. Automakers are racing to make driving less distracting for those who want to text, email, and check social media behind the wheel. Integrating certain apps into a vehicle limits eyes off the road and will remove the temptation to hold, look at, and manipulate the phone, says Tom Beloga, retired engineering VP at BMW. Research by the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers found that 90% of drivers with smartphones keep them in their hand, lap, cup holder, or on the passenger seat. So, clearly, having access is really important to them, says Alliance spokesman Wade Newton. Nearly three-quarters of respondents also said the government shouldn't ban the use of hands-free, voice-activated phone systems. If the government did ban these systems, almost half of those with smartphones said they'd use their phone or GPS device instead.
Okay, this news clip is titled, Some Cars Will Read Texts and Emails or Take Dictation. So, we have moved beyond just talking on the phone, answering the phone, or making a phone call, but there are a whole bunch of different activities now that are involved with our gadgets. So how do we begin, Josh?
Well, we're talking about automakers racing to make driving less distracting. And automakers is a word we've used before. It's the companies that make vehicles, and they are very focused on safety and also technology. And we're seeing lots of interesting technologies making driving safer. And in this case, they're looking for ways to make driving less distracting.
Okay. Distraction is one of my favorite words.
Is it?
There's a reason for it. But anyways, what does it mean?
So distraction is something that interrupts you. You're trying to focus on something and something else comes up. You get distracted.
Yeah, yeah. The reason it's one of my favorite words is because it is something we need to be aware of. And not just a physical distraction that, you know, takes our attention away from things, but also distractions in life that keep us from accomplishing great things mm-hmm. in life. So, but we are talking about distractions here of the gadgets, and we're talking about people who want to text, email, and check social media behind the wheel.
Yes, and I think Facebook status updates are probably causes of many distracted drivers on the road, and you can catch them doing it, right? You know they're in the car right now, but suddenly they need to take a picture of another car or check in via Foursquare. People want to be constantly telling everyone what they're doing.
Even while they're driving.
Yes.
I'm driving.
So automakers are racing to make driving less distracting. I like that verb racing because I think of cars when I think of racing.
Yeah. And they're competing with one another to come up with the best technology in this because they know that's what's important to people. So, and whether it's General Motors or Toyota or Mercedes-Benz, they're all racing to be the best one.
Yes. Technology, it's actually been proven in studies, is one of the leading factors in influencing your car purchase decision. Mm-hmm. It's not the style anymore or fuel efficiency. It's what gadgets can I use, can I integrate into the vehicle, and how will you make my techno-driven life more convenient?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Josh. It has really migrated as far as a car, as far as what people expect from their vehicle. And we actually expect the vehicle now to be our rolling office,
mm-hmm.
in a way, not just for work, but for our life. So that has really changed. Now, in fact, in this next paragraph, we hear from a retired engineer, actually the retired engineering VP at BMW, Tom Balaga. What does he say, Hazel?
Well, he says that integrating certain apps into the vehicle limits eyes off the road and will remove the temptation to hold, look, and manipulate the phone. So you're not actually holding the phone and distracted by what your fingers are doing or what you're typing. You don't have to look down, that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. So he is talking about putting these apps into the capabilities of the car.
That's right. Making them voice activated. Mm-hmm. So lots of vehicles are coming with in-dash systems. We'll talk a bit about those a little bit later. But it's basically the technology that's sort of in the center of the vehicle that allows you to, you know, change the GPS settings. And it's actually coming loaded with lots of mobile apps, things that we have on our phone, like music players and Open Table, which is a reservation service for restaurants, and Google Maps. Those are icons now on the center dash of new cars. And if he can make those, if companies like BMW can make those voice activated as opposed to manually touching them to start them, then we will drive safer.
That's really what he means, manipulate the phone.
That's right. Manipulate, meaning touch it with your hands.
Yeah. All right. We see here research by the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers found what, Hazel?
90% of drivers with smartphones keep them in their hand, lap, cup holder, or on the passenger seat. So they want to keep them nearby so that they can have instant access.
Okay. So literally all drivers that have smartphones, 90%, it's something. They can't go anywhere. They can't even go in their car anywhere without having this thing accessible.
Yeah, I think the other 10% are lying. I don't know.
Where did they put it?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. What, would you put it in the trunk? Would you really do that?
Keep it in your purse or in your backpack, maybe?
But I'm sure that's on the seat next to them.
Okay. Well, that's probably true.
Because it says the passenger seat. I'm sure their purse
would
be right
there. Idea that they just have the actual phone right there where they can grab it if it rings. Maybe not in their purse or something. But good point. Maybe they forget it like I do and leave it at home.
Well, you mentioned something, when it rings, because that's something, you know, we're talking about people taking the active role in here as far as texting and reading emails, checking emails, things like that. But when I see this and people having these phones accessible and close to them, I think of that distraction. You watch people, right, when their phone rings. It doesn't have to even be a smartphone. Could be even one of the older models. But people have got these phones in their cars, and what do people do when their phone rings? Immediately.
Go to it.
React.
Yes.
Reach, look. Now, imagine you're driving and what a problem this is. And this is something that we really haven't even talked about, you know, in our society as far as this reaction of what a phone can do, ringing. Somebody's driving. Imagine they're in a busy city intersection, in a busy city, and the phone rings. And what can that do? Maybe there's pedestrians walking. There's other people making left turns, you know,
I think this conversation extends beyond driving. Anyone in a role, whether it's a doctor or a bus driver or a train operator, where you need them focused and not distracted at what they're doing.
Or even a pedestrian crossing the street.
Yes.
You see a lot of people on their cell phones or texting crossing the street.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's not just drivers who are distracted. Yeah, I see people walking all the time, walking out into busy intersections.
And it's not just ringing. It's all the audio cues that come from smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
When you text someone and their Line app makes that annoying little beep sound, that is something that cues them that says, oh, I've got a comment. I've got a message. There's something on my appendage there that I need to go look at.
All right. So, like Alliance spokesman Wade Newton says, having access is really important to these people. Now, we also see another statistic here from the survey.
Well, it says 3/4 of respondents, which means 75% of the people who responded, said the government shouldn't ban the use of hands-free phone systems.
Okay. All right. So this has been debated because the study, as far as in America, has been, okay, states have actually gone forward. Like Josh mentioned, California, Pennsylvania, my states, some other states have implemented rules where talking on the phone is illegal and you'll get a ticket. The police will pull you over. All right. That's like the first step. Now,
without hands-free.
Without hands-free, right?
Oh,
the physical act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easier for the police to see this. So, but now it's all moving. The discussion is moving into what do we do with this hands-free voice-activated phone systems in cars, because that's what the manufacturers are producing. And now people are saying, respondents, the citizens are saying, well, that should be okay.
Yes. Don't take that away from me. How could I drive without making a call?
Right. And because I think a lot of people are saying this because they think, oh, well, since I'm not actually using my hand, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Without really fully understanding, if it's okay or not.
Maybe the government could gauge who you can call and determine, well, you certainly can't call him because you get very distracted when you talk to him.
Well,
or her.
If the governments did ban the use of hands-free voice-activated phone systems, well, what do the respondents say?
That they would still use their phone or their GPS device instead. So they would still want to communicate with others.
Okay. GPS device, that's another device that we didn't even mention before.
No, very distracting. It requires you to program in where you're going and take your eyes off the road to look at the map, even if it is voice activated in terms of, you know, TomTom, it's called, that guides you to where you want to go. People still look at it. It's still something like these in-dash apps that take your eyes off the road.
Right.
And their studies show that that's dangerous.
Okay. There has been a lot of debate about whether using your hands or not using your hands is better than one or the other. We'll get into that more in our second reading.
Voice operation can allow them to do it in a way that's safer than it would be to have them behind the wheel fumbling around with something they bought at an electronics store, Newton says. Beloga agrees. Lack of cup holders doesn't separate drivers from their coffee. Expecting all drivers to endure smartphone withdrawal is unrealistic. The safety benefits or detriments of these technologies are still largely unknown, says David Strayer, a University of Utah psychology professor. Clay Skelton, inventor of a system that won't allow a car to be started unless cell phones are in a docking station, cites a study by Virginia Tech Transportation Institute researchers that concluded the riskiest behaviors with cell phones are texting, typing, reading, dialing, and reaching for a phone. Technology such as voice-to-text takes away the dangerous visual and manual distractions, Skelton says.
Okay, now in this section, we talk about some of the benefits, pros and cons of using voice operating systems.
That's right. This word we actually skipped over in the subtitle there, dictation, that idea of speaking something that then gets written down, or in this case, something that gets sent to you in text and then read to you. So this idea of voice operation or voice activation, it says, will allow people to be safer and do things safer than they would normally behind the wheel, because they don't want them fumbling around for something it says that they bought at an electronics store.
All right. Now, that comes from Wade Newton, and this is always very important, listeners, and I've told people before, is that it's one thing to read information, but you also need the research as far as, okay, where is the information coming from? Who is saying this thing? And so what you can do is then evaluate that information. Because sometimes the organization a person works for sometimes might be impacting their quote. In this case, Wade Newton works for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. So he's going to take a pro-automobile manufacturers stance. And what that means is he's going to support this.
Yes.
And so he's going to promote it as good.
He wants you to be safe, but he certainly wants as much technology as there can be
right.
inside your vehicle.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want aftermarket things. That's this idea of something you bought at an electronics store means it didn't come with the car. So he wants you to be happy with what car makers are delivering at purchase
right.
and not needing something like a Bluetooth speaker or some sort of thing that you add to the vehicle after purchase.
Right. And then?
Well, and like you said earlier, Josh, if people are looking at cars with those things in mind, it would be very important for the automobile manufacturers to include all those things.
Yes.
Yeah. So the reason I mention that is now you might get a whole different opinion on voice operation from maybe who works outside of the automotive industry and somebody who is doing research on that. And we'll actually have a little bit of that. I'll give as an example a little bit later in this reading. So somebody who is detached from the automotive industry might have a whole different comment on this, which we'll see. In the next paragraph, we hear again from Tom Beloga, the retired engineering VP at BMW.
Well, he has an example here. He says lack of cup holders doesn't separate drivers from their coffee. So if you don't put cup holders in a vehicle, people will still bring their coffee along. They just won't have a place to put it.
Yeah.
It might be even more dangerous because maybe they'll be trying to hold it or put it on the dashboard.
Right.
And it might be more dangerous.
Yeah. So expecting all drivers to endure smartphone withdrawal is?
Unrealistic. And that's kind of a funny phrase there. We usually talk about withdrawal, meaning something you're addicted to, like cigarettes, and your body reacting negatively if you don't have that. And that's what he is insinuating people feel if they don't have their smartphone connected to their hand.
Well, in fact, this is really kind of funny to see this because in our previous article about cell phone and cell phone tower technology, Rebecca Krishneski was here and she had talked about losing her smartphone on a trip last year and how she actually had phone withdrawal because so much of her information is on it and she had relied on this phone so much. And she actually was without her phone for about 6 weeks. And she was like, I don't know, maybe she had reactions.
Six weeks?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I don't think some people could go 6 hours.
How did she survive?
But it was interesting to hear the impact this thing had on her life, losing it.
There was a study that just came out that was trying to estimate how many times heavy smartphone users look at their phone.
Yeah.
160 a day.
160 times a day. I can believe it.
That's a little bit more than me. Like, people will say, didn't you get my text message? Say, when did you send it? Like, 3 days ago. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. So maybe sometimes I don't look at my phone for a few days at a time. But 160 times a day. Wow.
I think we have a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what I had mentioned earlier is, like, you got to take the person's background and their affiliation, you know, in consideration when they make a comment. Here we see a different person and a different perspective in the next paragraph.
That's right. We hear from David Strayer, who's a University of Utah psychology professor. So a psychology professor, you could imagine, would be looking at why we do certain things and our behaviors. And he says the safety benefits or detriments of these technologies are still largely unknown.
Yeah. Okay. So up above, we had a couple of people essentially saying, oh, this stuff's okay. Now, somebody who is detached from the industry is saying, we don't know for sure.
Right. Not enough research has been done.
Right.
Still too early to tell. You can look at traffic accidents.
Yeah.
You can study people while they're driving. But it's still too early to say how hands-free is impacting safety.
Detriments.
It's the opposite of a benefit. It's something that takes away or distracts. It's not a good thing, a negative.
Okay. All right. Now, in this final paragraph, we meet Clay Skelton, inventor of a system that won't allow a car to be started unless cell phones are in a docking station. What's going on here?
I think it's a very interesting technology, it sounds like. So a dock, you put your cell phone, usually when it's being charged, you can think of a docking station next to an outlet, allows you to charge your cell phone. But this would only, it would actually only allow the car to be started when the phone was out of reach.
Hmm. Okay, so you've got to have this phone in this particular place. And there's some reasons why here as we continue in this sentence.
Well, it talks about a study, and it says that at Virginia Tech Transportation Institute, researchers that concluded the riskiest behaviors with cell phones are texting, typing, reading, dialing, and reaching for a phone. So those are the manipulating things that people do with phones.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is definitely risky to be doing this because what can happen is you can start typing, texting, sending a text message. And you can become really distracted. Next thing you know, you're looking away from the road for 5 or 10 seconds. And a lot can happen in 5 or 10 seconds.
The reaching, especially. There's been some major accidents in California where people who had the phone, you know, on the passenger seat stop suddenly. The phone slides off the seat and then slips under the seat. And you're completely taking your eyes off the road, reaching under the seat to get your phone.
Okay.
And accidents happen.
Now, one way of dealing with this is voice-to-text technology we see in the last sentence, right, Hazel?
Right, voice-to-text. It takes away the dangerous visual and manual distractions. Skelton says, but I'm not sure it completely takes away all the danger. I think anytime you're distracted, there's a little bit more danger involved.
Right. All right, so what this sentence is saying is, all right, maybe I've got my smartphone in the docking station and I want to send Josh a text message, right? Meet you at XYZ restaurant 3 p.m. And that will turn it into a text message that it sends to Josh. Okay, I'm not physically typing. However, I'm still distracted.
Yes, and you're thinking about what to say. You probably had to repeat it 4 times because it didn't work right the first 3 times.
Yep.
And hopefully you still drove safely.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting article, and I think it's key for everybody to really examine what is our behavior when we are driving, whether it's a car or a motorcycle. And let's be considerate of others out there. Let's not just get wrapped up in our own world, and let's think about our impact on all of the other people out there, other drivers and pedestrians. We don't want to do something that could turn into a serious accident. Listeners, thanks for being here today. Come on back tomorrow for day 2 of Newsworthy Clips.